Now, I'm joined by a Morning Focus listener, Mary Taylor, who is from Kilkee, who recently had an experience and time at University Hospital Limerick that she isn't likely to forget. Indeed, it's an experience during which she says she honestly thought she was going to die in there alone and scared. Mary, a very good morning to you.
Good morning, Alan.
Mary, you were on holiday in Spain recently. Tell us what happened while you were there.
Yeah, so I was on holiday in Spain last Tuesday. We actually arrived on Tuesday and I got this unbearable pain Tuesday night down my back. So we went to one of the urgent care centres. Now, in any holiday resort, there's loads of kind of urgent care centres and drop-in centres. So we went to one of those and they quickly realised that it was kidney stones that I had. So they transferred me to their bigger hospital in the next town over. So they made me comfortable enough that I could fly home. Where the kidney stone was kind of dangerous for them to try and do anything about. So they sent me home with letters to get a CT scan and, you know, get possible surgery in Ireland. So they gave me a lot of painkillers and I was able to fly home. I was well enough on Thursday. To fly home. So on Friday morning, I contacted the outpatient urology department in Limerick. I was trying to do anything and everything to stay out of the A&E department if possible, but unfortunately, that didn't happen. That wasn't the case.
Okay, and you were taken to A&E, and what happened from there?
Yeah, so I got really, really sick. I organised an appointment on Friday morning, but I got really, really sick Friday afternoon with a flu type. I got flu type symptoms, so just aches and pains and a headache and nausea and things like that. And it got significantly worse over a very short period of time. So my husband came home from work and he was going bringing me to the Galway clinic. They have an A&E department there, but unfortunately, on the way over, he had to stop and ring an ambulance. I was unresponsive. I was unconscious. I just couldn't function with the pain. And as we later found out, I was actually in the early stages of sepsis from where the stone had been lodged. So he rang an ambulance. And to be fair, they were absolutely unbelievable. It took them about an hour to get me stable enough and comfortable enough to transfer me down to UHL.
Yeah, so you were brought there to A&E, and were you in mm-hmm. A&E for long?
I was brought to A&E on Friday evening, and I spent most of Friday evening into Friday night in the resource department. I suppose that's kind of where they treat very sick patients that come in by ambulance, like car crashes and traumas and heart attacks and stuff go in there as well. So I suppose it does get quite busy. But when I was in resource, I was treated really well. They got the pain under control. I had ample amounts of morphine. I had the green whistle. They're like a painkiller. They're like gas and ear painkillers. So I was in there until Friday night. And then when resource got overcrowded, there was a couple of us that were moved on to the next corridor in waiting.
So you, Mary, were on a trolley in a corridor. For how long and what was that experience like?
Yeah, so I was on a trolley and a corridor until I just discharged myself on Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon, I guess. I spent full night, Friday night and all day Saturday and all day Sunday absolutely screaming in pain down there. They were keeping it under control for a good portion of Friday night and into Saturday morning.
And were you getting pain relief for it, Mary, or how were they keeping it under control?
Yeah, so they had prescribed me Oxynorm, which is basically a type of morphine. It's a very fast release morphine. And I was prescribed normal morphine and Pethidine. There was loads of painkillers that they had prescribed to me, but they were doing trial and error, and the only thing that was even coming close to the pain I had was this Oxynorm. So I was doing really well with that. I suppose as in if it was making me a bit more comfortable, until they ran out of it in the actual department that I was in. And all they could offer me instead was IV paracetamol.
And was that minimising the pain you were going through to any significant, noticeable degree?
No. They were putting, so on Saturday evening, I asked for it. It was just before my sister had come in. I was in a lot of pain. I hadn't got pain really for a couple of hours at that point. And I asked for it and they told me that they didn't have any. And then my sister came in and she was like, no, they probably do have it. And we asked again and they told her that they didn't have any, but they could give me paracetamol instead. So I did accept every single thing that they offered to me in the line of painkillers, but nothing can near the pain.
And, you know, what were you feeling like then, Mary? What did you look like? I mean, what did your sister see when she came in? And your sister, I believe, works in healthcare.
Yeah. So my sister works in healthcare and she works with older people and she works with them quite close to the end of their lives. Like, you know, I looked pretty bad. I was grey. I was getting sick out the side of the bed. My clothes were soaked. But to be fair, my sister was more interested in the other older people that weren't getting looked after down there. She was nearly going from bed to bed trying to help people. But like, it was really bad.
What happened then by Sunday morning? Presumably, you know, you're in the corridor, noisy, probably very little sleep, and certainly you weren't feeling well at all.
Yeah, so I was feeling very, very rough, as you can imagine. And with the sepsis indicators, they kept rising, and we knew that they kept rising. My temperature was going up, my blood pressure, my heart rate, everything was going up, but they had done one set of bloods and one urine sample, and that's all they did in resus on Friday. And we knew that this kept getting worse, but when we asked the doctors, they were saying, oh, your bloods are looking stable now. But they didn't do any repeat bloods for it to look stable, so it's kind of laughable at some point. Like, yeah, and I suppose what you're thinking of is the last couple of, you know, big headlines out of UL have all been nearly sepsis related and just young people lying on trolleys until there's nothing more they can do for them in regards. And sepsis works so quickly as well, you know, even putting aside the pain that you're in from the kidney stone itself.
You were conscious of all of this and worried about it on top of what you're actually going through, the worry as well.
Yeah, this is it. And like with the kidney stone, your whole urinary system is blocked up. So I obviously couldn't pass urine. I wasn't given a bladder scan. They didn't put a catheter in. They didn't seem a bit concerned. They put maybe three or four bags of fluids, one after the other, into me, and none of that was coming out. And that was just adding to the absolute agony that I was in. And eventually, on Sunday morning, I asked them to stop. I said, no more fluids, no more IV paracetamol, nothing is working. I was in a terrible amount of pain.
Still with the kidney stone in you, and had you been told the likelihood of surgery, if that would happen and when that might be?
Yeah, so on Saturday morning when things were kind of going okay, a doctor came around and he told myself and my husband that if surgery wasn't going to be this evening, it would definitely be tomorrow morning, which was Sunday morning. And we said, okay, like, you know, we'll manage it out till then. Because in our eyes, that is an emergency. You'll be looking at emergency surgery, you know. But on Sunday morning when I asked for my discharge papers and I had asked for the doctor on Saturday night about six times. They never paged them, or he never came down, one of the two. I asked for painkillers 11 times and I got nothing. Eventually when I asked for my discharge papers, they did bring the doctor down, and you know, he was saying, oh, it's dangerous to go home and we'll get you surgery. And I said to him, okay, do you think it would be today? And he laughed and he said, no, it won't be today.
He laughed, yeah.
Not
the reaction you appreciate given the condition you were in.
He laughed. He said, it's Sunday. I said, I'm aware that it's Sunday, but you actually told us yesterday that it might be done today. And the his female colleague said, no, they don't do any surgeries on Sunday like this. Like, it would have to be a big emergency. So I was kind of rolling my eyes at that.
This wasn't a big emergency.
Yeah. So he said, look, you'll get done later in the week. And I said, when is later? And he said, Thursday, Friday, I don't know. And he literally walked out after that.
So did you continue, did you follow through on discharging yourself?
I sure did, yeah. I suffered from a brain bleed back in July of this year. So we were very conscious as well that I have a little, it's like a little aneurysm. And we were really conscious that hadn't been scanned, I hadn't been receiving my regular medications for that. It's another risk on top of all the other risks that you're taking. But that, when we were weighing up the pros and cons, that was definitely one of the big cons of the situation, was just, even if I was in a lot of pain, to try and get me into a calm environment and get the aneurysm checked over as soon as possible as well.
And Mary, so when you discharge yourself, what did you do then? How did you go about addressing the situation you're in, still with the kidney stone inside you, feeling as awful as you felt?
Yeah, so it was, obviously it's the worst pain that I've ever been in my entire life, and I think anyone that's had kidney stones will agree with that. I was discharging myself, and the nurse that I've been quite rude to us in the morning said, it's okay, we'll see you again tomorrow, there's nothing you can do. And I just said to her, you won't see me tomorrow. When I was leaving, they gave me a prescription for paracetamol, no other painkillers, as punishment, I presume. So I rang the Galway Clinic on Sunday afternoon and I told them my story, and the team up there were absolutely fantastic. They said that they would have brought me up on Sunday, only they don't have a urology team on a Sunday. So they brought me up. I went to the Galway Clinic on Monday morning at 10:30, and by 11:30 I had my CT scan done, all my blood scans, ultrasound, everything was done. They'd located the stone. And the only waiting point that we had to wait out was that the urologist, Dr. Boucher Hayes, he was at a clinic in the afternoon, but he actually came straight from there. And within meeting me and seeing my scans, I was in theatre less than 30 minutes later.
And I presume successful operation, and you are hopefully on the mend now?
Yeah, so it was successful. He was. You know, he's brilliant, absolutely outstanding. He'd done the surgery to the best of his ability, so the stone was 8 millimetres, which is quite big for a kidney stone. And where it had rested all weekend, and from, I suppose, last Tuesday, actually, it's quite inflamed and there's a lot of infection and stuff being held there. So still a little bit of recovery to go, but nothing like the pain that I was in. Like, he'd done a fantastic job.
And Mary, just before I let you go, I mean, how would you sum up, briefly sum up your overall experience at UHL?
That was just terrifying. I mean, the whole time that I was there, you know, it's very easy to say it's overcrowded and, you know, to pass the blame off to a lot of things, but having a little bit of respect and a little bit of dignity when you are, you know, when people are that ill, it would go a long way. You know, there's a lot of, especially older people, I feel like we had a voice, and I think that's probably why I'm telling this story, is like I had a voice and I had opportunities, you know, I could go other places. Whereas there's old people on the trolleys and they are being ignored and they're being walked past and they're being just left there. And it's horrible. It's horrific to watch.
Mary, we appreciate you sharing your story. You've been through the mill, by the sounds of it, but thankfully you are on the road to recovery and continued success in that. And thank you for sharing your story with us this morning. Really appreciate it.
Thanks so much for having me on, Alan.
No problem. That's Mind Yourself. That's Mary Taylor there from Kilkee sharing her story. And if you have any stories you'd like to share, do get in touch with us on 0868 1800 964. We have received a statement from UL Hospitals Group in relation to our earlier conversation with Mary Taylor on her experience at University Hospital Limerick recently. The statement says, "We regret the long wait times for a bed and challenges around privacy and dignity currently being experienced by patients in the ED. This is not the care we wish to provide for our patients, and we wish to assure patients and their loved ones that health and social care teams across the region are working hard within existing resources and a capacity to reduce these wait times. Please note that access to emergency theatre is based on clinical prioritisation." So that is the statement from University Hospital Limerick or UL Hospitals Group on that.